Good evening again. Just reiterating what Brother Huey was talking about before, when I first got saved and I was looking for a church, the truth was extremely important. So today we see no longer the truth is important in churches, which I find quite bizarre, but God says so in His Word that's going to happen, so we just have to believe what God says. Anyway, tonight we're Biblical Prophecy part number 15. Who's getting sick of Biblical Prophecy? Nobody? That's good. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not getting sick of it, brother. I'm amazed how much there is. It just keeps on keeping on. Amen? So tonight, again, there's going to be a lot of Scripture. So, as Brother Huey said, no one complains when there's a lot of Scripture. Not openly, no. Now, last time we looked at Biblical Prophecy, we saw how God will rule in righteousness for 1,000 years, what we call the millennial reign. We saw that Christ will be legislator, judge, executor. All authority will be designated and appointed by Him and will be under His direction. Every ruler will be appointed by Christ. Every law will be given by Christ. Every judge will operate under His authority and His direction. Tonight, I'm going to put the other string in the guitar, brother. Tonight we're going to get a bit of a brief insight as to what it will be like to be there. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this wonderful time together. We thank You for Coastline Baptist Church, and Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for prophecy in Your Word, Lord, which is exciting at this time we live in. And sad at the same time when we see things coming to fruition. But Lord, it's a very exciting time to live. When we see that Your return closer and closer, it's just on our doorstep basically. And I pray, Lord, help us to enjoy tonight, to enjoy what You have to say to us, to see what it's going to be like for us as saved Christians to be with You for Your millennial reign. And Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so would you like to grab your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 6, and we're going to read from verse 6 through to verse 10. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 6 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Amen. In Christ's kingdom, peace will reign even within the animal kingdom. Men have longed to return to paradise from the time of our father Adam was evicted from Eden, but it can never come through man's efforts. God will change the very nature and habits of the animal kingdom so that the lion will eat grass instead of meat. We don't understand how this will happen, and it will happen throughout the whole animal world. But the same Almighty God who made the creation can change it as He sees fit. Amen? Those who have a problem believing the miracles described in the Bible simply don't understand the almighty power of God. If you believe the first verse of the Bible, you can easily believe every other verse. God did not create the world to be as it is today. In the beginning, animals did not struggle for survival or devour one another. The world wasn't in constant turmoil, swept by violent storms. And animals were not fierce. The reason the animal kingdom is kill or be killed is because of man's sin against God. When man gets right with God, the world will be right with man. In Christ's kingdom, the knowledge of God will cover the entire earth. What a contrast that will be to the condition that exists now. Today, spiritual darkness covers the nations. A veil is over man's eyes. The world is full of lies, false religion, and godless philosophy. Also says there, in Christ's kingdom, the Gentiles will trust him. The root of Jesse is Jesus, the Messiah, who is both the root of David and the branch of David. Christ is both David's God and David's son, which was a mystery or puzzle solved by the fact of Christ's incarnation through the virgin birth. He is Emmanuel, or God with us. When the kingdom is established, Jesus Christ will be an ensign or flag that will be preached to the Gentiles. The gospel will again be preached throughout the earth, and multitudes of Gentiles will put their trust in Jesus as their Saviour. But not all Gentiles will trust Christ nor submit to him from the heart. Many will remain unconverted and will submit only externally out of self-interest and fear of punishment. And those in this condition who live to the end of the millennium will join Satan's final rebellion. Could you please turn with me in the book of Isaiah to chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 1 says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak knees, weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes." So in the millennium, the wilderness will blossom. Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon are the northern part of Israel near the coast where the most rain falls. And even today, this part of Israel is the most beautiful. Lebanon was given to Israel and was famous for its magnificent cedars. The forests of Lebanon also had fir and algum trees. These forests supplied building materials for palaces and temples throughout the Mediterranean region, including Solomon's Temple and Palace. And Sharon was famous for its beautiful flowers. The blossoming of the wilderness will begin in the land of Israel and spread throughout the earth. Israel's wilderness will be like Eden. Don't have to turn there, but Isaiah chapter 51 verse 3 says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So this is in a great contrast to the condition that exists today. The land of Israel has been much developed since the Jews began resettling there in large numbers in the 20th century, but it is still largely arid, and particularly south of Jerusalem. Most of the land receives little rainfall, and agricultural productivity is found in small areas that are worked by dry farming techniques. But when Christ reigns, all of the land will receive its rains and will blossom and provide an abundance of harvest. The citizens of Christ's kingdom will continually thrill at the beauty of God's glorified creation. There will be no industrial pollution. There won't be any greedy misuse of the land. There will be no natural disasters like storms and floods. The sick and the crippled will be healed. Christ's healing ministry during his first coming was a little foretaste of the powers of the world to come. His healing miracles were for the purpose of authenticating his messiahship. In Christ's kingdom, good health will be universal, and the medical industry will be shut down. There will be no deformities, no crippled babies. Then will be fulfilled the promise in Psalm chapter 103 and verse 3, which says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." There will be aging and death in the millennium, because there will be people in their natural bodies. But man's normal lifespan will increase dramatically, as in the days before the flood. Man's lifespan in the kingdom is likened to the days of a tree. You can turn there if you want to, Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 22 says, "They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people." Men will not die young except as a judgment for crimes. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 20 says, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." So this passage says that a child shall die 100 years old, meaning that if someone dies at 100, he will be like a child who dies in this present age. But some men will die young because of their sin. The sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed, it says. There will be a healing power in the leaves of the trees that will grow along the banks of the river that flows from Christ's throne. We see that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The perfect health that is sought by the people of this present world, and that is vainly promised by many alternative health practitioners, will not be found as long as the world remains in rebellion to the Creator and under the power of Satan. No more than peace on earth will be created by New Age dreamers. In the millennial kingdom, there will be mortal and immortal souls. In fact, the citizens of the millennial kingdom will be composed of three types. There will be angels. There will be born-again Christians. And we'll be dwelling in immortal bodies like Christ. Amen? And then there will be men living in natural bodies, which are those who will be alive on earth at Christ's return, and those who are born during the millennium. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 10 says, "There will be joy in singing." Isaiah chapter 35 verse 10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." So Isaiah says there will be everlasting joy upon their head. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. So all of the depression and discouragement and bewilderment, fear, and those such things will be gone forever. Amen? Singing and laughter will be the normal way of life. There will be singing and dancing. But it won't be worldly dancing, it will be holy dancing. Amen? It'll be like when Miriam led the women of Israel in prophetic singing and dancing at the defeat of Pharaoh. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says, "The Lord thy God is the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing." God is a joyful God. Amen. He is passionate in his rejoicing. There are three different Hebrew words for joy in this verse. Now please forgive me if I don't pronounce these Hebrew words properly, but number one, sus refers to the happiness that a man has when he finds a great spoil, such as finding a hidden treasure or winning a huge lottery or getting a large unexpected inheritance. The second word is simichi, refers to exuberant singing and shouting. Festival joy. It is translated exceeding joy. It is the joy that the women of Israel had when they danced and sang for David's victory over the Philistines. It is the joy that Israel had when Solomon was coronated, a shouting joy so great that the earth rent with the sound of them. And the third word, Hebrew word, is gil, means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. And it was because of the joy that was set before him that Christ endured the cross. The same word was used. Christ is anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Christ's enthusiastic joy will permeate his kingdom. He will rejoice over Israel to bless her with almighty blessings. So that's God's joy for us. Amen. Spinning around under violent emotion. It's pretty strange, but that's what it says. Amen. Could you please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 72 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 72 and verse 1 describes Christ's kingdom in a great detail. A psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, and shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their souls from the deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure for ever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name for ever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Christ will rule universally. Christ will rule absolutely. Christ will rule as King of Kings. His kingdom will be a divine dictatorship, a theocracy. There will be no elections. There will be no people's rights. Solomon's kingdom was a foretaste of this. Christ's word will be the final authority. There will be no appeal to a higher authority, since there is no higher authority. He has been given all power in heaven and in earth. Christ will rule in righteousness. And righteousness is the major theme of the kingdom prophecies. Because God is righteous, and He has always required this of His people. In Christ's kingdom, righteousness will reign in action, it will reign in speech, attitude, literature, music, dress, entertainment. Righteousness will reign in everything. Holiness will characterize the kingdom. The most common things will be done to the glory of God and according to His righteous standards. Righteousness will be defined by God's absolute law, not by man's changing, self-serving standards. The filthy and proud, idolatrous pop culture will be a thing of the dim past. The international pop culture of the last days, which thumbs its nose at God's laws, which originated with Cain and his sons. Music was a prominent part of Cain's culture as it is today. Later at the Tower of Babel, the culture of the world became permeated with idolatry. And then through the technology of these last days, the wicked pop culture has spread to every realm of man's life. Back then, Cain's sons could only listen to their party music when it was played live. But the sons of the world in these last days can plug the music into their ears and listen to it whenever they please. They can access the devil's culture 24/7. In Christ's kingdom, the righteous will be no longer vexed in the soul by the wickedness and idolatry of society. Amen. When we consider the advertising industry today, it is everywhere present and is characterized to appeal to man's sinful appetites, such as lasciviousness, pride, envy, lust, and covetousness. It is filled with deceit. It promises are often outright lies. Just one example would be a cream for women to put on their face that takes away wrinkles. I mean, come on, how gullible are people? This industry will be pulled down in Christ's kingdom. In that day, the redeemed Jews will have God's laws written in their hearts, and they will know the Lord personally and individually. They will not merely conform to external laws, they will conform enthusiastically from the heart, and they will teach God's righteousness to the nations. In that day, the New Testament believer will be able to enjoy Christ's righteous kingdom without reservation or limitation, because he will be perfectly righteous. Amen? We will not be subject to indwelling sin, discouragement, fear, doubt, pain, sorrow, or disappointment. Today, the believer is righteous positionally by justification, but our practical righteousness is never perfect. We have the indwelling old man and live in a body of death. In this present life, we are subject to the bondage of corruption, to groaning and travailing, and we hold God's promises by faith rather than by sight. We groan to be clothed in that incorruptible, immortal body that God has promised. Amen? At the rapture, we will receive that body, and we will therefore be able to enjoy Christ's righteous kingdom to its fullest. Christ will rule in equity and justice. Each individual will be treated equally and judged without consideration of person or position. You won't have to be somebody to be treated properly. You won't have to be wealthy or part of some elite group to get justice. cheating and stealing and corruption won't be allowed. And there'll be no hidden fees. And there'll be no legal fine print. The oppressors will be punished. If you are cheated, slandered, robbed or injured, you will be able to call upon the authorities and they will care about your case and will deal with the problem. They will not turn a blind eye to corruption and injustice. And that is in great contrast to the world that we live in today. Since man's fall, typically the world has been ruled by corrupt officials and tyrants. In most parts of the world today, government officials and courts are exceedingly selfish and corrupt, and justice is non-existent except for those who pay bribes. And it is not only the governments that are corrupt. The corruption exists at every level of society. So in Christ's millennial kingdom, businesses will not sell shoddy materials to make a quick profit. There will be pride of workmanship to the glory of God. Amen? Money will not be lent at exorbitant rates. There will be no graft and no bribes. Everything will be done in the light. Nothing will be done in the darkness. There will be no abuse of position and privilege for personal gain. Each ruler in Christ's kingdom will be like Samuel of old, who could stand before the people and ask, "Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith?" A little foretaste of Christ's kingdom can be seen in Jehoshaphat's reign. He appointed judges who were instructed to rule justly and equitably in the fear of God without respect of person. They were under the oversight of the high priest. This is how it will happen in Christ's kingdom. Rulers will be appointed by Christ, his representatives, and they will be under the oversight of the temple, which will be the centre of the government. Justice will be administered in wisdom. In that day, the world will be ruled by men, guided by God's Spirit. Christ possesses the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge. He is the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and this wisdom will be imparted by the Spirit of God throughout society. In Christ's kingdom, wise men will be in power. They will have the wisdom of Solomon to make the right decisions. They will have the wisdom to know when to exercise mercy and when to exercise judgment. The wisdom to discern truth from lies. They will not be tricked by human deception or fooled by clever lawyers or led astray by the wrong philosophy. They will have the wisdom to use the resources of creation to build a lovely society. All of the knowledge and wisdom that men have exercised over the last 6,000 years will be nothing compared to what we will learn in the millennial kingdom. In the day of Christ's reign, there will be no spiritual darkness and no willful blindness to hinder the pursuit of godly knowledge. The redeemed will draw from the infinite fount of wisdom while glorifying Him in all things. Men will have the wisdom to use resources wisely. There will be no waste or fraud or misappropriation. Resources will not be spoiled by foolish decisions. There will be no redistribution of wealth from the workers and to the lazy ones, from the righteous to the unrighteous. There will be no unjust taxation. Hopefully tonight's message has been an encouragement to you. The millennial kingdom is just around the corner. The rapture is going to be in our lifetimes. I was talking to Sister Colleen tonight. Maybe not in your lifetimes yet, I don't know. Who knows? But it's very imminent. Everything on the world stage is ready for the saints of God to be caught up into the clouds. Then 7 years after this event, the millennial reign will begin. Life here at the moment, in this sin-cursed world, is not a bed of roses, but I can guarantee you that for the born-again believer, the life to come will be far, far better than we can ever imagine. And I'll finish with this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Amen.